Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth, and today we're talking about something that may catch you a little bit by surprise. Life expectancy in the United States is declining. It seems to be regressing just a little bit. Now, if you're like me, you're used to the idea that life expectancy improves with each generation. And for much of our post-war history, that's been true. But in 2015 and 2016, for the first time in 50 years, we actually saw life expectancy in the United States decrease. For more on this, of course, we're joined by Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, not only do we know now that Americans, at least in the short term, are living shorter lives than the previous generations, they're also dying earlier than their counterparts in other parts of the developed world.
Yes, two alerts here, Brandon, that we need to look at, but let's frame it by looking at the big numbers. As you said, our life expectancy in the United States in 2016 was 78.6 years. That's an overall aggregate number. For our counterparts, developed countries, we see that number be 81.8. And in actuarial science, that's a pretty big difference. And we saw our decline for 2 years in a row, which, as you said, has not happened in 50 years. There's something going on that we need to get a handle on as a country.
My big question for you, of course, as a public health professional, when you see something like this, a trend like this developing, what does that mean?
Well, it's a symptom. It doesn't necessarily tell us what the problem is. And as we've learned on many of the things that we've looked at, the health indicators, the health problems, there's a very direct link to societal problems. And oftentimes the problems we've looked at have multiple factors. And this is certainly the case in declining life expectancy. And some of the big things that are being studied as contributors to the declining life expectancy are, sadly, the opioid epidemic, obesity, inequality, which is something we've talked about before, the disparities between different groups of people in our country. And then this is one we've not talked about quite as much. We generally talk about policy as a lever to improve health and healthcare, but actually certain policies may be contributing to the decline in life expectancy. That's something unexpected.
Well, let's walk through some of these major factors one by one. You said the opioid epidemic, obviously something we've been hearing a lot about in the news, particularly as it relates to, say, overdoses or prescription drugs in Tennessee. Let's talk about how this impacts life expectancy.
It's overdose death. Consider this thing to give you a big picture view. 4% of the world's population is in the United States, and yet we account for 27% of the overdose deaths in the world. That's frightening. That is a clarion call to us as a country. Things that we need to consider when we think about the opioid epidemic and the related overdose deaths is that our social safety net is full of holes. We also have this pharmaceutical problem in the United States with very aggressive marketing. The other thing that's unique about pharmaceuticals in the United States is just the tremendous amount of profits associated with the manufacture and distribution of drugs. Those are things, if we wanted to get inside the opioid epidemic as a contributor, that would be good places to start. I don't think it's the ending, but it's the good start point.
The second factor you mentioned is obesity. What does that have to do with life expectancy?
Oh, it has a lot to do with life expectancy. One very prestigious study from the proceedings of the National Academy of Medicine is that our increasing BMI, it's a measure of our height to weight, that it is reducing life expectancy in a 40-year-old by 0.9 years. That accounts for 186,000 excess deaths that can be linked back to obesity,
which is more than the population of Knoxville, which I find a very interesting perspective number. The third factor that you were talking about is inequality. And when we say inequality, you and I have talked about this, disparities in access, in how people can get to healthcare, what they can afford. Let's talk about how this affects life expectancy.
Yeah, and this is a little more abstract than looking at obesity or overdose deaths. But the declining U.S. life expectancy is not affecting all Americans equally. And let me give you some examples. Poorer Americans, are dying earlier than richer Americans. So if we break our population into three parts, the poorer you are, the less your life expectancy, the richer you are, the higher your life expectancy. And what we're seeing at the time that we're seeing declining overall life expectancy, that's attributable to declines in certain segments of the population, the richest Americans are enjoying unprecedented longevity gains. So this is a very clear illustration of a disparity or an inequality.
There's also a connection back to economics and healthcare. We were talking about obesity just a moment ago. You say that people on the lower end of the economic spectrum are more likely to be overweight, but also take part in poorer health habits like smoking and drinking when compared to people in higher income brackets.
Right. And some people, the immediate thought, and I get it, is, well, those are choices that people make. You know, and almost there's almost some blame implied there. I think what we need to do is to look at the choices that you make are based on the choices that are available to you. And one area where we know that policy is a good lever, it can help to produce improvement, is in changing the environment. We know that anti-smoking laws have had an impact on smoking. We know that bans on trans fat has helped to reduce obesity. So there is an element of personal choice when we talk about health behaviors like smoking, like being overweight, not exercising, but it also is socially situated. The choices you make are based on the choices that you have.
Another factor, policy. And you mentioned this in your last answer. Policy can be used as an instrument. How does policy have an effect on life expectancy?
Okay. And I think we could look at this in two ways. Sometimes it's obvious, you know, with what we've been through with CHIP refunding. The Children's Health Insurance Program, which thankfully now has been funded again, had that not happened, there could have been some pretty significant health consequences associated with children not having that coverage. So that's something that's direct. Last time we talked about the idea about welfare reform and the fact that Medicaid is continually in the targets for changes. Well, Medicaid is a lifeline, literally, for a lot of Americans. So those of us that look at life expectancy are very concerned about what happens with the Medicaid program because of what it does to the people who rely on that program.
Now, previously in our conversations, we've talked about maternal mortality, that is, issues, health-related issues that would kill the mothers of children either during pregnancy or just after. So that's how we define maternal mortality. There are some other specific aspects of mortality that you wanted to talk about before we close out.
Yes, I think we need to look at the fact that American children are 70% more likely to die before adulthood than kids in other countries. 70% more likely to die. Now, again, I've spoke about clarion calls. There you go. There's another one. Infants in the United States are 76% more likely to die before childhood than when we look at peer wealthy countries abroad. So how does this translate? Since 1961, we've seen 600,000 excess child deaths. And, you know, there's groups that we're more sympathetic towards than others. I always think that children are really high on the list, and yet we are living, and by not doing anything about it, accepting this as a fact, and I think that's a problem. So what's the contributors here? And maybe we can talk about this more in a future episode. Our fragmented healthcare system does not do well in taking care of children, and then poverty. Poverty is rising among certain segments of children, and there's a direct link here. So poverty is a big issue. Let me focus a little bit on teenagers. And this I would define based on the studies as ages 15 to 19. They are 82 times more likely to die from gun homicide than in peer countries. That's not a political statement. That's a fact. And that's something we need to look at. And also 2 times more likely to die in a motor vehicle accident than in other countries. So I think that there's some things we need to look at there also. These are all calls to action. We have to determine as a country what the action is. Brendan, one of our listeners said to me, sometimes I feel a little discouraged because there's this highlight on problems. And boy, I really took that comment to heart, and I appreciate that listener sharing that. There are bright spots. When we look at life expectancy, I'm thinking about a country that I had an opportunity to visit with students a couple years ago, and that's Costa Rica. Middle-income country in Central America. One of the unique things is they have universal health care. As a country, they made a very deliberate choice to put their money towards health care, less so towards their military. And what we've seen in the ensuing time is they have better outcomes and they spend far less than we do. But in the Americas, they have the third highest life expectancy right behind Canada and Bermuda. So they're a bright spot. Well, what's the contributor? One of the things that's getting growing scrutiny is the fact that their primary care system is so robust. The value of primary care is something that I think you and I need to talk about in a future episode, because as we look at what we can do to address the problems that we so frequently talk about, one of the answers is primary care, and the return on investment is a great deal for America.
Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing on Health Connections. Dr. Myers, always a pleasure.
No, the pleasure's all mine, Brandon. Appreciate working with you.